Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center, the place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, Mosby Building Arts is the wonderful company that I work for. Scott Mosby here, KMOX. It is a three-hour home improvement show. This is Scott Mosby at the helm. We are cruising for three full hours. Phone lines all yours. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Bring it on, bring it in, vote early, vote often. Let's get them going here. Everything about this show is for you, about you, with you, as Mike Miller describes in the KMOX Garden Hotline preceding this show. We've got 3 hours today, and we are going to talk about everything around you, how we recover from that large tribe of relatives that perhaps visited your house or didn't. Maybe you had a quiet Thanksgiving. The holidays are upon us, so we're going to use these homes, these buildings, these gathering spots quite a bit and see just how they work in their function or dysfunction. All of which we talk about right here on the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Scott Mosby, at the helm, I will answer any and all questions. Some, if I know the answers, I'll share that. I'll show you my math. If I know parts of the answer, I will share that as well. Most of what I can share is the physics, the logic, and some experience behind what parts of your questions I do understand. Some, I've made this mistake many, many, many times, so I am your pre-disaster research and development arm of your do-it-yourself project, whatever it is around hiring a professional contractor. All of these mistakes I have made and still continue to rapidly make mistakes. That's my learning style. They call it failure-based learning. I do a lot of education both on the teaching and learning point. I consider myself a student when I'm in front of the class or in the seat behind. So today, at the moment, I have the microphone. I am in control of these phone lines, and we have everything to talk about. You. Temperatures up and down, wet, up and down, warm and dry, wet and cold, all above with us because tonight we're going to get a little bit of rain. We're facing some rain in the forecast coming in. Temperatures pretty moderate, all in all, pretty good. A nice weekend for the Thanksgiving holiday. Hopefully you have digested and survived as I have. Mostly, very happily, I will say. 314-436-7900 is the number that you dial right now to bring it on. Bring your question in. So we've got to get that going. Let's get started right now with the phone lines and see what's cooking. Good morning. Welcome. Scott Mosby here. How can I help?
Hello. My name is Dave from St. Charles. How are you?
Dave, thank you. Good morning, sir. How can I help? I'm Wondermas.
Good morning. We have a house that we purchased about 20 years ago, and the ladies who live there built a nice wooden deck on the back of the house. It's an all-brick home. Okay. And then they put a hot tub on that deck, and then they enclosed it with a vaulted ceiling, insulated doors, windows, such. They put indoor-outdoor carpeting on the decking. Now, after many years, it's starting to get really soft. And my thought is, I believe it's about 2 or 3 feet above the ground, and would like to convert that by taking the carpeting off, reinforcing the wood base because it's getting soft around certain places. In fact, would like to remove the hot tub. Yeah. And it's about a 15 by 15 room, and would like to kind of know if we what type of surface or what would need to be done to get that to happen?
Part of the issue is the walls and roof enclosure is probably built on top of that existing floor deck. Do you know what that floor is made of, whether it's 2x6s or 3/4 inch plywood? Do you have any idea what is under that carpet?
I sure don't, but there is a deck that extends through a doorway that does have wood that's probably 2x6s spaced about an inch apart.
Yeah, okay. So it's a traditional decking material.
Correct.
The problem you will face, Number one, yes, you can do this. Number two, it's probably really wise because with a 3-foot deck above ground, the bottom or the underside of those floor joists and the decking on top of it generally remain pretty wet, pretty moist, pretty humid all the time throughout the year, even in the winter. So that wood has a limited lifespan. I would count on removing the carpet, sawing up whatever decking you have. You'll have to re-block, put in new floor joist liners around the inside and under those exterior walls. You follow what I mean? Because as you pull that plywood or 2x6 off, there'll be boards and walls on top of a decking material, and that decking material will not be supported. So I do that. I do add support from the bottom and right underneath the wall, and you may need a couple of blocks all the way around the perimeter inside that wall, one to hold up the wall from the inside. You will leave the old decking underneath those exterior walls. You follow me so far?
Absolutely.
All right. Then block it so that you support that old, you know, these little pieces of decking may only have 5 or 6 inches underneath the wall. And then you'll need another block inside that to affix or attach the new floor material to. And that I would suggest starting, number one, with a treated 3/4-inch plywood on top of that floor joist. After inspecting the floor joist, make sure those floor joists are in pretty good shape. The 3/4 plywood, and then add whatever on top of that and underlayment. It might be 5/8, it might be 3/4, it might be a 1/2-inch plywood, but that will be an underlayment base. And then you're good to go with, you know, indoor-outdoor carpeting or whatever material you'd like to put on that next.
Okay, and your company would be able to come out, take a look at it, and set it up and say, here's what we need to do and here's who can do it.
Yes, exactly. And I'm more comfortable with a professional doing this because you're messing around with existing walls. You know, you're cutting up a funky floor structure. It wasn't quite, you know, kosher when it was built and enclosed. So, you know, you've got about a three-headed monster going on with doing what you're doing. I'm very comfortable with your calling my company rather than wrestling around with this thing. Even a pretty savvy.
I would never do it myself. That's why I called, and I'm calling the professional.
Yes, my hat's off to you for that one. One of the best things to know is when not to mess with it yourself. And so I've already made all these mistakes in my 20s, so we can that's what experience is. Just means I made a lot of mistakes just a while ago. That's all.
Excellent. And I can't afford to make my own mistakes and then have somebody come in and fix it either, so... But yeah, I can definitely take care of doing it right and paying whatever it takes to get it done right. And I hope that you'll be able to do it.
Thank you, Dave. I'm honored that you would consider us and give us a call.
Okay, I appreciate your information. Thank you very much.
All right, bye now. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, KMOX. That is one of the, people say, what is the hardest answer you get? And the hardest answer that I face is when the question exhibits a level of knowledge that is well below what's necessary in experience and, you know, structural awareness and analysis to handle that project. So I appreciate Dave recognizing that, trying to hold the roof up while we're changing out a floor, which means we're effectively doing repairs out of sequence of the normal construction process. You typically put the floor down, then you put the walls on the floor. Oh, never mind, we're going to pull the floor out, and that's the one that's holding up the walls and the roof at the time. So you need to know what you're doing and have, as we do, have licensed architects and structural people on staff as part of Mosby Building Arts, which is why I'm kind of on this show, because I know a little bit about a lot. I don't really know a lot about a little. And when we have one of our design sessions, which kind of looks like a family discussion / argument debate on, well, no, you have to block it before you take it out. And, well, what block goes in? And do you need floor joists? You know, you need joist hangers on those blocks? Well, yes, or, you know, and, well, what size nails? And that's what goes on, frankly, in our design team. And, you know, then the production team, we're a design-build company, so we have all those skills and trades. And it's fun. I enjoy those greatly. We drink a lot of coffee, do a lot of discussing, and at the end, it's a pretty good plan. But my gosh, it can be interesting on the way to that path. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Bring your calls in. This is Scott Mosby, KMOX. We're going to take 3 hours today. Bring them on. I'm a little lonely here in Studio B. Bring the calls in, 314-436-7900, and we'll talk about it because we've got weather moving in tonight and a little more rain coming through the day or coming through the week. So we'll talk about that right here on KMOX. Scott Mosby back for more after this.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center, the place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Oh, yes, we are. Home improvement, 3 hours, lots of phone calls, answers, questions, all of your best products and favorite things. This is the weekend for many of you. This is a long weekend, and you may be deep into do-it-yourself projects, fixing the whatever, getting ready for winter. At the hardware store, home center, buying snow melt, ice melt, all those. Did I say that? I'm sorry, I didn't mean infer that, you know, cold weather was coming, but like it hasn't been here already. 314-436-7900, Scott Mosby at your service. Let's see what's cooking on my friend Marlene. Hey, Marlene, Scott Mosby here. Good morning. How can I help?
I'm almost thinking the gentleman before me was asking about what I'm going to ask, but I didn't really hear him. Yes. The question is, we have a bathroom floor that's sinking, and we have an iron tub on it, which I would like to recycle if I could. But what do we do about, who do we need to get out to do, you know, what's the process? Because right beneath it, there's another bathroom we'd like refinished as well, you know, redone as well. So how do we proceed with this?
Well, Marlene, number one, your eyes wide open. That I'm glad to hear both bathrooms are on the list for possible remodel, because when you have a cast iron tub, that cast iron tub sits on that floor, and it may or may not be on the same structure that is underneath the toilet, the vanity, and the lavatory pedestal sink, whatever that is. So all bets are off. This gets pretty close to being a full bath remodel for the failed floor. And if you get into any plumbing problems, i.e. your house being maybe 60 years old with cast iron pipes, you may wind up facing the plumbing stack, which means the big iron stack in the wall that goes out through the roof all the way down to the basement. And if that is the case, then you're disconnecting all connections to that pipe stack all the way up and down, which means now you're pulling apart parts of the bathroom below. You know, so frankly, this is why we do design build, to kind of tell you the bad news all up front. So we kind of blow you away with the first message. But the truth is that it's almost impossible not to mess seriously with both of those bathrooms to do what you need to do. How's that for good news?
Well, I kind of had a hunch we were going to hear something like that. So, okay.
Yeah.
We did have the stacks done about 5 years ago, but I don't know if that figures into this.
Well, it may. It may be good news, but sometimes the stack is just a section of the pipe. You know, when it's kind of like rust on a car or wrinkles on me. After you get to a certain point, no matter how much repair you do, the wrinkles just keep coming and the rust just comes back. So I hope you've done the whole stack, because sometimes doing smaller parts, usually just what's down in the basement below those two bathrooms is what's accessible, you know, just because the cost of opening up the walls all the way through two bathrooms and then messing with the tubs and the toilets and yada, yada, yada. You know, and it's, you know, it's cancer surgery is kind of what it really is. So you really can't stop until you're done.
Okay. Well, I sure thank you. And I think I have your number. Wait a minute. Let me rewrite it. Can you repeat that number, please?
Yes, ma'am. We are 314-909-1800. 314-909-1800.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Oh, yes. Here we are together. Home Improvement. 2.5 more hours. Scott Mosby at your service. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. I have consumed quite a bit of turkey, dressing, all the other goodies, leftovers. Yeah, it's may the holidays spread out for several months. Well, yeah, they generally do. We're going to get ready as we go through the show. I'll bring you forward with a little bit of my economist outlook, how I see things in the construction industry, because the what's happening on a national and even global level, how the shortage of workers, birth rates, all that affects this very show. Whether you're trying, when you make a phone call and, somebody used to come right out and, get right on it. Well, golly, now you kind of wait in line. Even with a slower economy, there is still a shortage of workers. So anyway, I'll sprinkle that through as we go through the next 3 hours, how that affects me with my business in Mosby Building Arts, how it affects you as a consumer, how it affects me in a consumer role, and how it just goes through all that stuff. But let's, right now we're getting into repairs, which is a good thing to have, because luxury to me is when you turn on the water and you get what you expect, or you turn the doorknob and it latches or unlatches, you throw the deadbolt and it locks, little things like flip the switch and the light goes on. That's what I consider to be luxury. Sometimes we can put too many bells and whistles on some of those controls, and then you just can't figure out how to get the light switch on. Let's see what's cooking with my friend D. Hey, D, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help you here on the Voice of St. Louis KMOX Home Improvement Show?
Yeah, hi. So glad to talk with you. I actually used to live in the St. Louis metro area. Now I've moved up to the Kansas City area. I get Alexa to turn you on Saturday morning. So,
thank you.
I'm still able to find you, yes. Okay, I'm looking for extra seating, like along a wall, like a box, that I could open the lid and put in my crock pot and electric skillet, and then put the lid down, put a cushion across it, and have extra seating. Where do you go? Both of my son-in-laws have said, no, they can't do that. And so then do you go to, I don't know, what do you do? I've gone to stores and looked for something, but they're never big enough, Yeah. So any ideas?
Yeah, you're into a custom made something or other. It may be cabinetry that is movable. Here, the good news is you're following the right path. Can I buy a piece of furniture that will economically and quickly, do what I need it to do? Can I dress it up with some cushions, all that? So you've gone through all that. Next step is it's not going to work. Here's the truth. The truth is, yes, you can, and you need design help. Because if you're going to build this thing, you need to know how big it is, how tall it is, and you can also have it built to handle pots and pans or trays with upright dividers like cabinets. So, does the lid open? Well, the size, what you're effectively describing is a banquette. So BANKETTE, banquette, which is how we disguise or, design seating around a kitchen table or something like that. It's custom. It's going to be a big deal. It'll cost you more than you think you want to spend, and design has to be part of it, because if you build it 2 inches tall, 2 inches too short, too long, too short, you're going to pay for it whether it's right or wrong. Might as well get it right.
Okay. I appreciate that. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I so enjoy listening to you guys yet all the way over here in Kansas City, so keep up the good work, okay?
Well, D, I love Kansas City. I consider it the west coast of Missouri. It's always a good time when I go to KC.
Well, there you go. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, D, take care. Bye now. Home Improvement, KMOX, Scott Mosby. There we go. We've last week or a couple weeks ago, last week, thank you for the traveling. I was able to go embarrass myself playing golf, killing some grass in places that can grow grass now. And it was the best of times and the worst of times is in golfing scores. But anyway, I got away. Rich Orris stood in my place. Thank you to Rich. Anyway, Billiken basketball was last week, and no Billiken basketball today, but we've got your retirement professionals coming up right after the KMOX Home Improvement Show, and then we've got the business, a family business coming up after that. Let's see what's cooking here with my friend Jenny. Hey, Jenny, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help? Hello, Jenny, are you there?
Yep, Jenny. I'm here. Thanks for your show. Really appreciate it. We bought a house about 3-4 years ago, and we had some moisture in the basement, and we actually demoed the whole basement and found a little mold, removed the mold. But we found that there was a vapor barrier and normal insulation against the concrete wall. And my question is, is that the right way to insulate a basement wall, or should there be a vapor barrier against the concrete in itself and then insulate the wall?
Well, your question is exactly the answer. There's a lot of building science behind your question, so kudos to you. You're already 80% up the hill. Number one, back years ago, we put vapor barriers in basement walls. We thought, well, we can keep the moisture out. Well, absurdly learning that, no, you can't. You know, the air in St. Louis is loaded with moisture all the time anyway, called humidity. So no vapor barrier on the insulation in your wall studs. And exactly so, you have concrete, which is permeable, so moisture moves through that concrete as it will, because moisture moves from the high concentration to low. Well, it's drier in your basement than it is outside with the dirt. So any moisture in the ground or in that concrete will come right through that wall, likely right through the floor. How old is your house, Jimmy?
It was built in the mid-80s.
Mid-80s? Okay. Well, then you have a vapor barrier underneath the concrete floor by building code. So generally, you can count on that permeability being slow on the floor. So most of what you're trying to do is the wall. Do you have raw concrete walls behind those studs when you tore them out?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Perfect. Perfect. Then there's a dry lock material. DRYLOCK. UGL is the manufacturer. Dry lock is the product. And it is a crystalline paint that you buy at a hardware store. It's like painting heavy paint on the wall. It will react with raw concrete to form a pretty good waterproofing barrier. They call it waterproof. It isn't really waterproof. It will slow down the moisture movement and any water leaks. And it is a wet-on-wet application, so it means that you put your roller in, you roll it up the wall, up and down, up and down, up and down. You do about 5 by 5 feet, and then you put the material on, and you go 90 degrees to that. So you're rolling wet 90 degrees. What you're trying to do is get a wet-on-wet coverage, because there's a chemical reaction that goes on between the concrete and this paint product that you can get home stores, hardware stores, paint stores, dry lock. There's another couple brands that are similar. That goes on the concrete, and then you put your studding up. If you can, if you've pulled your 2x4s out, one trick that I really like is on the concrete floor plates, so the 2x4 on the floor, 2x6, whatever material you're using, would be a treated lumber, but put a blue Dow styrofoam strip underneath it. It doesn't matter how thick, 1/4 inch, 1/2 inch, but you know, you don't need any more than, you just need a separator. What it does is any moisture that would be on the concrete floor would wick up into that wood and then carry up into the studs and the drywall. So if you put this little gasket thing, which is, and it has to be either pink Owens Corning or the blue Dow brand, those two are both suitable for below grade locations. You put it underneath that, and then you have to anchor down those studs, you know, those floors with, you know, bolt-in tap-con screws, something like that that goes a couple inches into the concrete. The point being that you just don't use a moisture barrier or vapor barrier on the wall. You just unfaced fiberglass, and, you know, that so you're exactly right in your question.
Well, I appreciate that, and I like the idea with the styrofoam on the bottom base. What's your opinion on spray foam on the walls?
Optimal. That would be optimal. I still would put the dry lock and then the spray foam on the wall. The issue is the moisture will condense on the first cold surface. So if you have a sprayed applied material on the concrete, any moisture that does get through that concrete gets past that dry lock, and you would use then an open cell spray foam to allow the moisture to keep coming. The point is that you're going to have a fairly similar mass from the concrete to the paint to the foam, and your first time that vapor can turn into water is outside the foam. So you're better off, and if you do that, then you would put no insulation in your studs, no vapor barrier, spray foam would be it, and you can put your studs up first, but typically I want 100% adherence and coverage over the concrete foundation. Yeah, spray foam is optimal.
Fantastic. Thanks for that feedback and that guidance.
Yeah. Well, you seem to understand it pretty well, Jimmy, so I liked your question, and all I'm doing is kind of, you know, telling you the details behind what you already seem to know. So, way to go.
Thanks a lot. Great show.
Okay. Thanks, Jimmy. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement Camo X. My mission is to keep you out of trouble, to mess things up in my own life and in craft. And when I say make these mistakes, part of the reason why I like to travel and why I'm still active teaching and learning is because I learn through other people's mistakes. So when I say I'm out there making mistakes, I'm asking people who mess things up in the professional status. And as you have discovered in the last 30 years in construction, that as we go to some of these super performing buildings with, you know, what's called the built environment, that's kind of a slang for, you know, what the stuff we build to live in and house ourselves. We've created a few of our own problems by just not fully understanding how science plays out in the science of trying to fool Mother Nature in these artificial structures. So anyway, I'll get into that a little bit more during the next few hours here on KMOX. Phone lines are open. I'm a little lonely. Bring it on. Let's go. I'm just going to sit here and eat some worms until you call 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, 50,000 watts. Right here at your service.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the day. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood all day long. What can I say? I just like I like this time of year. I like the nip of the fall. Nice as it is. And yeah, we're a little short on sunshine. Sunshine sure makes things good. Let's see what's happening with my friend Tim. Hey, Tim. Good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can we discuss this morning?
Hi, Scott. I'm listening to you talking about installing styrofoam and spray foam insulation. Mm-hmm. And as a former commercial fire inspector, I'm wondering, do the building codes, as far as house is concerned, do they recommend any certain flame spread or combustibility rating on this insulation so that we don't possibly create a fire hazard in a house?
Well, absolutely. Everything has to be fire blocked, fire stopped, and draft stopped. So all that gets followed. And products that get sprayed in, you know, that have to have a UL fire listing. So generally, when you get into flame spreads and all of that, it's rated for, you know, internal residents. So residential is far less proscriptive around flame spreads and such. For, you know, we just don't get much into that because of the small size. But we count on our spray foam guys to be UL listed, and we can't really get a permit without an approved product anyway.
That was my question.
And that's but you bring up to a good point that one of the benefits of getting a building permit is that oversight. I mean, frankly, we don't really pay much attention to it because we get permits. So, you know, that all gets reviewed, oversight. You know, we're architects, so we have to, you know, put in the standard specs on each product anyway. But, there is a huge, huge amount of work that gets done without building permits, and that yet again is another benefit of having a building permit.
Right. The worst case scenario I could see is somebody that's doing a job themselves that's not paying attention to code and possibly overdoing it with this highly combustible insulation.
Yeah.
And then having it catch on fire and, you know, taken off. So
yeah. Or worse yet, smoldering with who knows what's coming out of that stuff. You guys run around with air tanks. Residents don't get, we don't usually hang out in the house with an air tank on.
Right. So, I just remember, without naming company names, fires I've been to, polystyrene foam, polyurethane foam burns hot and very smoky. So,
really?
Yeah. And so I didn't know how much of that today was used in home construction, but it just raised a question.
Well, it is, and frankly, that's where, you know, we're probably three notches below you in how we spec out materials. What we look for are approved materials, underwrite lab, you know, or approved, you know, testing bodies, so that we know
right.
We're cool using whatever ABC product. That doesn't mean it doesn't have a whole lot of toxic fumes when it smolders or burns. And, you know, I learned primarily is from people who know more than me in interactions like, yeah, you know, urethane burns hot and fast. It's like, oh, didn't know that.
I could tell you some stories, but probably not on the air.
Well, but the value, I mean, honestly, I couldn't tell you much about the fire codes, but I've had a lot of fire inspections that explained to me, or inspectors that explained to me why they wanted what they wanted. And with that knowledge, I could figure out, okay, you're trying to control the spread, slow down the fire so there's response time to get there. So I learned
exactly.
A lot about how to figure things out, frankly.
Yeah. Well, you hit the nail on the head there, Scott, and your thoughts are mine, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, man, thanks for being part of the family, Tim. Bring it on anytime you hear something. Chime in, because I know a lot about a little, and when we get into something like this, I need an expert to carry me into that. You know, I know a lot of information, so I know a little about a lot. I need you to keep us straight on knowing a lot about a little. Specialists.
Well, there's only a little bit that I know a lot about.
Well, but but we count on it. That's how we move forward and improve our lives and our construction methods. So thank you.
All right. Thanks for doing this, Scott.
You too, Tim. Thanks. Bye now. Home improvement, Scott Mosby. You, we've got, and this is what I like. This is my, you people say, well, how can you know all those answers? Or why do you like being on the radio? Well, I learned something from Tim. A couple of weeks ago, I was saying clean your garage door tracks with gasoline. And a retired firefighter called in and said, no, please don't clean your garage tracks with gasoline. And catches on fire. Rub it hard. You know, you get a little bit of friction going, a little bit of heat, and poof, your gasoline is now on fire. You know, it's like, oh, never mind. Forget that. Roll tape back. Anyway, so what I learned on this show is stunning to me on a lot of levels, even to the point of one of my favorite things was one of my questions many, many years ago was how to get the residue off of glass fireplace doors on the inside, which is basically the creosote soot from a firebox when you close the glass doors. Well, the only thing I ever got to get off was a really nasty flammable carcinogenic solvent. So I'm telling people to rub this stuff, and a lady calls in and she says, you know, I heard what you said, and, you know, gloves and respirators and open the windows and don't blow yourself up. You know, you can just take a little bit of water and dip it into the fireplace ashes and use that lye, that ash and water, and rub it back on the surface of the glass doors, and it'll come right off. Duh. Duh. So I enjoy learning as I do, and that's a perfect example. Or another one, I was telling somebody to put smoke down their pipes to find out where the pipes are broken. And I think yet again, an old plumber called in and said, oh, use peppermint extract. Go to the grocery store, buy that stuff for $1, $2, you know, just cheap, whatever. Dump it, flush it down the toilet. It'll be on the other side. Believe me, peppermint extract smells like nothing else in a bathroom or a laundry room, and you'll find out where or if you have a broken pipe or a breach of some sort. Duh. So, I mean, a lot of high-tech things that we use in commercial and industrial applications, there are many, many tales and things to learn from. So, anyway, one of them right here, you know, Tim on the spray foam, flame spread. By the way, flame spread means how fast it burns. So, if you go to the store, furniture store, and you buy a couch, that fabric has a flame spread rating. Some fast, some slow. When you have a single-family home, the flame spread of that fabric has to be UL approved so that I can put it inside a habitable place. So that's okay. Furniture stores take care of that. But when you have a theater, a movie theater, full of chairs or seating that's covered with fabric, they want that to have a really slow flame spread because there's a lot of fabric, a lot of chairs, and a lot of people in a room with only a few exits, a few doors. So it's interesting when you put a lot of this stuff together, included high density of people, occupancy, if that stuff burns really fast, really hot, as Tim's point about the urethane foam insulation burns fast and hot, well, that means it moves fast too. If it burns fast, that means it spreads quickly. So the point being, when you get to these flame spread ratings, floors have traction ratings, so you have a ceramic tile. You know, some of those surfaces are not suitable for floors. They're either not strong enough, or they're too slick, or they're polished. So even ceramic tile, in a, you know, say a shopping mall, you know, people come in wet feet, snow, ice, all of that. So those floors are rated, fabric is rated, insulation is rated, even drywall. And so the point is that even though you spray foam on a basement wall, which we had a question on, you know, this morning with Jimmy just a couple of questions ago, the point is that we still have to enclose and isolate that foam, which means drywall, which is a fire-controlled, you know, rated product, half inch, so we use that. But the point being that all this stuff can get as complex as you want it to be, but getting a respected and licensed contractor doing this with permits really matters. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, KMOX.